Okay, let's do go to Ohio to start a broader look at some of the legal issues that the legal types are looking at. On Friday, the Republican Secretary of State made a last-minute ruling about provisional ballots in Ohio that The Atlantic's Andrew Cohen says is the biggest legal story of the weekend. And given what we're hearing out of Florida and New Jersey, that's got to be pretty big. Edward Foley is director of the Election Law Program at Ohio State University. Welcome, Ned, first of all.
Thanks so much for having me.
And so let's review here. The Ohio Republican Secretary of State ordered election officials to toss out provisional ballots that aren't completely filled out. Now, in Ohio, we'll remind people that you have to have some form of ID and not necessarily picture. People who forget theirs can check boxes on their provisional ballots saying what kind of ID they have, and they can bring it to the board by November 16th. They can also say they don't have any ID and swear to that. But these provisional ballots were showing up with nothing checked or filled out, and the state now says throw them out. Voting rights advocates sued. On what basis?
Well, federal law was their basis, both the federal constitution and then a consent decree, which was a court order in previous litigation that goes back all the way to 2010, the consent decree, saying that the new directive violates the terms of the decree. We've been having litigation over provisional voting in Ohio.
Well, and you just made my head spin.
Yeah, sorry.
but basically, aren't these voting rights activists saying, I mean, yes, there are all these, you know, questions about decree and whether or not the ballot says even in small print that you have to check things off. But aren't the voting rights advocates saying, wait a minute, this should be the poll workers' responsibility to make sure people do this?
Right. I think it's important in evaluating this new lawsuit or really new phase of an existing lawsuit to kind of take a step back and just with a wider angle lens look at what's been going on. Because, as I said, there have been complaints about the way provisional voting works in Ohio for a long time. And they've been in state court and in federal court, you know, for months and years. And some of that litigation's been beneficial in the sense that it's settled some rules ahead of time. So, for example, it used to be unclear what would happen if you voted in what's called a multi-precinct polling location. That's where several so-called precincts share the same gymnasium or church or, you know, library to vote in. And there was an issue about whether or not ballots would be disqualified if you ended up at the wrong table within the same gymnasium. But the lawsuit went forward and got a ruling from federal court that said you cannot disqualify that ballot. So that's a good ruling, and it's good that it happened ahead of time. So when we go into Election Day tomorrow, the rules are clear. As a result of that litigation, it's caused the Secretary of State to have to alter some of the instructions to the local boards and to the poll workers to catch up, if you will, with some of those previous court decrees.
Because the court said it's the poll worker's job to tell people whether or not you're at the right table or not. That's
exactly,
part of their responsibility.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And so what we're seeing is maybe, I don't know whether it's phase three or phase four, but what happened on Friday is yet another iteration, if you will, of the effort to kind of clarify the rules and pin them down as best as you can.
Oh, boy. And so, I mean, look at that. We just spent several minutes talking on this relatively new thing. I mean, we're reminded that in 2000, when there were so many problems at the ballots, voters being, you know, turned away, told they weren't on the voting list in Florida and having no provisional way to vote, these provisional ballots only have come since 2000, so that there's a way for people to vote and then have their ballot checked later. We're going to take a look at some of the other issues this raises in Ohio, elsewhere. Edward Foley, director of the Election Law Program at Ohio State University. Even as we speak, lawyers fanning out across the country will take a look at some of the other issues they're going to be confronting tomorrow. Edward, stay right there. Back in a minute, here and now. Welcome back to our look at some of the legal issues in play this election day. We're talking to Professor Ned Foley, director of the Election Law Program at Ohio State University. And Ned, we were talking about this ruling from the Ohio Secretary of State ordering election officials to throw out provisional ballots there that don't have certain boxes checked off. Voting rights activists have said, wait a second, that should be the poll workers' job to make sure people do their ballots correctly. But you say that not just in Ohio, although Ohio is, of course, one of the more important states, but this is going to be the first legal dispute with campaigns wanting those lists of provisional voters to make sure that they follow up and bring their IDs, but also to make, you know, to get ahead of any challenge.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think if we have a really close election in one or more states, focusing on the presidential election for the moment, you know, whichever candidate is behind in the initial unofficial count, you know, Tuesday night going into Wednesday morning, will want to figure out how to make up that gap by saying there are provisional ballots out there that potentially can count. I mean, that's the reason why you have provisional ballots, to protect voters when there's some question about their status. So that candidate will want to help those voters convert their ballots from being provisional to being valid. And so there'll be a process to try to find out who those provisional voters are and to help them overcome whatever question mark or defect there was that caused them to be provisional in the first place.
Well, what are some of the issues that you're looking at, some of the legal problems that you see arising?
Well, I think provisional ballots is the primary one because there's just a volume there compared to other things. Absentee ballots is also another point that lawyers look at because, again, with respect to both provisional and absentee ballots, those are votes cast. The only question is whether they're going to be counted. And so that's a very different kind of issue than complaints about long lines or other sorts of problems because lawyers can't get a ballot counted that wasn't cast in the first place. But if it's cast and questionable, that's what can be fought over. So that's why provisional absentee ballots are going to be likely the first focal point of any dispute.
Well, and today's Boston Globe is reporting on that story out of Iowa that officials there are investigating allegations that Democratic operatives were encouraging seniors to fill out absentee ballots for family members.
Right. And scholars of the elections process know that absentee ballots are more vulnerable to inappropriate conduct than polling place ballots because since an absentee ballot can be cast anywhere, you know, in your living room, in a basement of somebody else's house or, you know, wherever, there just isn't the security with absentee ballots that there is at the polling place. And so these kinds of questions can arise.
Well, it goes back to how weird American voting laws are. There's, you know, 13,000 different sets of rules across the country. And we just talked to Mo Rocca, who, you know, made a documentary about this. And in Nevada, Indiana. In Indiana, when you cast your absentee ballot in person, you bring it into the polling place, which, as we just heard, is happening in Florida today, counting as early voting. When you do that, you have to show your ID in Indiana. When you mail it, you don't. So it's all over the place.
Yes, I saw the documentary last night. So
it's quite something. What about recounts? For instance, we're hearing in Florida, some of the touch machines there have paper trails. Some don't.
Well, that is a potential vulnerability for those states and localities that don't have paper trails. It makes doing a recount, you know, much harder and, you know, much more complicated. Then you have to bring in the computer scientist to testify about what's going on inside the machine. Whereas if you have a paper record, then you can, you know, anybody can look at that, and there's just a much more public understanding and transparency of the recount process.
And what are these lawyers that are fanning out doing? We're reading about groups like Election Protection. It's a nonpartisan voter advocacy group, more than 200 lawyers spread around Ohio. What exactly will they do?
Well, there's two types of groups in that sense. They're the campaigns themselves, and the candidates and the campaigns and their attorneys will have to decide whether they want to fight or whether, you know, it's they can't fight and it's time to concede. I mean, that's a judgment that gets made, you know, on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, all across the country in all sorts of races. But some of them are close enough that you know, fighting or going into overtime is worthwhile. So that's kind of one set of lawyers looking on behalf of the process for the candidates. And obviously the other side tries to defend a lead that they may have. Then the voter protection groups that you mentioned, you know, they're there, you know, as they say, to protect the voters, to if somebody is a provisional voter, how can you help them have their ballot count? How can you help a voter not cast a provisional ballot in the first place, to cast a regular ballot instead, which is better from the voter's perspective?
Yeah.
And so those, you know, independent groups are trying to protect the integrity of the process as they see it.
Well, and you know, you say so are the systems that have been put in place. We're hearing about all these stories of questioned absentee or provisional ballots, but you say that's almost the good news, that there is at least a paper trail. In 2000, again, people turned up at the polls in Florida and were told they'd been purged from the list and there was no opportunity for them to vote provisionally. At least now we might have all these challenges of these ballots, but at least we have them.
Right. We wouldn't want to go back to the system where people could be turned away from the polls, wrongly turned away, and never have the chance to participate. So provisional ballots are a kind of safety valve built into the system. And in most elections, it won't come down to counting the provisional ballots. They'll still be counted and processed appropriately, as they should, because if they're valid ballots, they count equally. But, you know, you usually know the winner on Tuesday night in most races without worrying about these provisional ballots. But in a close race, they can make a difference, and that's a good thing, because that means the system does have this protection in it. But because elections are competitive, you know, the candidates are going to fight over those votes like any other.
Just a quick, we only have a few seconds, Ned, but just a lot of our listeners think that the story this time around, because of all the different ID laws in and out of effect, that the story is going to be disenfranchised voters. Do you agree?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think the judiciary did a good job before Election Day to protect against that kind of wrongful disenfranchisement.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll check back with you maybe on Wednesday to see if people agree.
Happy to do it. Thank you.
Ned Foley, Director of the Election Law Program at Ohio State University. Your thoughts on all the lawyers that might be going to vote with you tomorrow, especially if you're in some of these competitive states. Let us hear from you, hereandnow.org. And if you still have questions about voting, please let us know. We'll pass them on to Ned. Take a quick break. Latest news is next, Here and Now.